current days consist of Nerf gun wars, off-key jam sessions, or full-length conversations via Snapchat, this next individual never ceases to make us laugh until our sides hurt. His constant love for the good Lord, a vanilla Coke and cheese sticks from Sonic, his family, and his home is priceless. And he never forgets to let somebody know how much he truly appreciates them.
His fiery passion for a laser tag game, or any game for that matter, is unmatched. He never backs down, no matter what mentally or physically challenges are facing him.
No matter the outcome of our ideas or any situations that we get ourselves into, such as riding shopping carts down the hallway of our dorm rooms, this next individual always reminds us to hold on to every tear, every laugh, and any bumps and bruises we may acquire.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join us in welcoming our best friend
and your 2014-2015 National FFA President.
With his retiring address entitled, Hold On,
Andy Paul.
There's a carrot top that can barely walk with a sippy cup of milk. A little blue-eyed blonde with shoes on wrong, cause she likes to dress herself. And the most beautiful girl holding both of them. Yeah, the view I love the most. Oh, the view I love the most is my front porch looking in. Yeah.
Picture this. Myself, my cousin Meredith, and my sister Sarah are all sitting at my grandparents, Nita and Pop's house. Now, we were extremely bored. We were around 11 or 12 or so and had absolutely nothing to do. So, naturally, we do what anybody would do in our situation. Start creeping around outside to see what we can get into. And there we spot it. In all of its glory. An old, rusty Winn-Dixie grocery cart. We run to the cart, look at it. Like clockwork, we turn and face each other, mischievous grins spreading across our faces, and sprint back to Nita to ask our dumb question for the day. Can we ride in the buggy? Now, we knew the answer was most likely going to be no, you'll skin your gizzard. But we had to at least try, right? Now, I'm not sure if my Nita was just really tired that day or if she was actually trying to get rid of a few of us. But she said, if Pop was willing to put y'all behind his dog, I don't see why not. And my Pop just wanted to make his grandchildren happy, so of course he was going to say yes. Now, this dog was actually a farm utility vehicle, really similar to a John Deere Gator that could fly. My sister grabbed onto the handlebars behind us. My cousin and I hopped in the buggy, game faces on, ready for the adventure of our lives. We're going through the pasture, zooming, dodging dips and hills, when suddenly this buggy starts to swerve and shake real bad. Since I was scared, obviously something bad was happening, I naturally blamed my sister. I turned around and hollered, "Let go!" She stared at me and held on. "Let go!" Another stare down. "Sarah! Let go." Sarah threw her hands up in the air, obviously fed up with her little brother. I turned around triumphant that I had just saved my life. And now this ride would be smooth sailing. I felt a quick jerk, a wobble. My heart began to rise from my throat. The next thing I know, Meredith and I are lying sideways in the cart, laying face down on the ground, hollering for Pop! Stop! Fun fact, my Pop had about the worst hearing east of the Mississippi. So for another 500 feet, we were drug across the ground because the words, Pop, I'm dying, mean nothing to a man who can't hear them. We eventually slowed down and got out of the buggy, hopped up, shook the dust off, and attempted to control our nervous shaking. But the funny thing is, all that went wrong happened when I told my sister to let go. She did, and my world literally flipped upside down. How often are we told that we need to let go of who we are so we can focus on who we could be? To let go of our past so that we can only focus on our future? That who we were was insignificant. Even one of the most popular recent Disney songs tells us to let it go. Just let it go. And while that is true, to an extent, there are some things that are so important in life, we should never even consider letting them go. We need to hold on. We should always hold on to joy. And we must choose to hold on to something greater. Over this past year, I've had the chance to travel all across this beautiful nation, from the state of Washington to back home in Georgia, from California to Illinois, Pennsylvania, Texas, Nevada, and all over. But one of my favorite trips was back in the middle of the summer when I had the chance to visit beautiful Camp Oswegatchie in the state of New York. I spent some time there with some state officers from 7 different states for the National Leadership Conference for State Officers. While we were there, we had campfires, ate some amazing food, and came really close as a group of FFA members. Now, one evening, they gave us some free time. So myself and the other two facilitators, Brian and Bethany, decided that we would do the ultimate outdoor adventure that would test our skills. Canoeing. Yeah, we really let our hair down on that one. We quickly decided our roles. Brian and Bethany would do all the heavy rowing, and I was just there to keep us off the rocks, aka look attractive. So we row, row, row our boat gently across the lake. Oh, goodness. Oh, well. We might have made a mistake. We've been on the water for around 10, 15 minutes when we noticed a little creek. Let's go underneath this bridge. Now, I know this sounds like the beginning of a badly produced horror movie. You know, 3 college-age students take their canoe into the woods. But how many come back? But when you have a lady from Nebraska, a guy from Virginia, and a good old Georgia Bulldog, nothing can go wrong. Right? And so we canoe underneath this little bridge, and immediately the water starts flowing a lot faster. And our first thought is, man, this is nice. Let's work for us. So we keep going, and the water starts to get a little rougher and shallower, and a lot more big rocks start popping up. Now, I know the logical answer here. Turn around to safety. Wrong! The logical answer is to see how far you can go until you get maimed. And to keep paddling and keep paddling, and a lot more big rocks start popping up. The water gets shallower and shallower. The bottom of this canoe is being pelted by small rocks. We get stuck on 5 trees, and our arms begin to feel like limp noodles. Sounds like we're at the end. When we began our journey, we forgot the cardinal rule of canoeing. You see, the great thing about creeks is that since the water only flows one way, you eventually got to paddle back. So we turn our canoe around, and we row, and we paddle, and we row, and we barely move an inch. What I'm feeling now, worry. You got 3 people rowing with all their might, and we have barely budged. But we keep going. And going, and going, and wham! Whoever decided that huge rocks in rivers was a good idea was not my friend that day. And so Brian literally jumps out of the canoe and begins to push us up the river. What I'm feeling now? Frustration. For some reason, these water pistols that I call guns just can't seem to get the job done. Brian's pushing us up the river, step by step by step we go. Bethany and I continue to row. We can see the bridge in the distance. What I'm feeling now, hope. We can see our goal and we are working towards it. And slowly I feel the canoe start to turn. Suddenly we're perpendicular to where we were. Now we're backwards. Holy wow. What I'm feeling now. Lord, if it's my time, just take me away. And so Brian hops out of the canoe around it and begins to push it up the river. My survival, like Ginger Ninja mode, kicks in. I hop out of the canoe, begin to push us up the river, and we work, and we sweat, and I cry, like usual. And the next thing we know, we're underneath this bridge, making our way to still waters. I look around me. The sun is just beginning to set, throwing its last bit of light onto the lake before the moon rises. I scan my eyes to the shore and I see FFA members sitting around having a campfire. Frogs are croaking, birds are chirping, and the water around us sits perfectly still, except for the occasional drip from an oar into the lake. What I'm feeling now, peace. But what I possessed the entire time, joy. What is joy? Joy is the quiet confidence that everything in our life will be okay. Have you ever felt true joy? Does joy live in you? You may say, of course it does. I'm the happiest person alive. But happiness does not equal joy. Happiness is fleeting, an emotional high that makes you feel like you are on top of the world. Joy, however, is knowing that the world could be on top of you, but you'll stay hopeful, peaceful, and content. I am happy that my truck has gas, but I have joy knowing that I get to travel and see friends. I am happy I made a good grade on a test, but I have joy knowing that I'm working towards a greater education. I am happy that I served as a national officer, but I have joy knowing that this organization changes lives. And I have joy knowing that over this past year, I've made friendships that'll last a lifetime. Though our situation will change, so will our level of happiness will change as well. But our joy will never leave us. Either we have joy or we don't. What if we feel like we have no joy? Why? What is causing us to let go of that joy that can enter our lives? Is it because literally nothing in this world is going right, or are we solely focusing on the negative? Hold on to those positive moments and grab on to the joy that can enter your life if you choose to let it. If we feel like we have that joy, great. Never let it go. Spread that joy to those around us. Hold on to those that wish they had our joy. Either we have joy, we have confidence in this world and where we will go, or we don't. Which side are you on? But so oftentimes, that joy stems from something greater. That peace comes from knowing our greater purpose. You know, most people say they are a combination of their parents. Well, I definitely have my dad's love for people and my mom's sense of humor. But when it comes to physically, I'm a combination of both of my grandfathers, granddaddy and pop. Every time I hear my own voice, I hear my granddaddy's, and I know that he is always with me. When I was a junior in high school, I finally looked in the mirror and realized that I was the spitting image of my pop, James Albert Paul. But it took when people gathered to celebrate my pop's life for me to realize it. My junior year, my pop started getting extremely weak and sick. The pop I had grown up with was as strong as an ox and as stubborn as a mule. The way a man should be. I remember I had just come home from school one day and was sitting on the couch with my sister as we both started to prepare for the next day. Missed phone call. We look outside to see my cousin Leanne coming across the road from Nita and Pop's house to mine. We go outside to meet her and we heard the words that we've been dreading. If you want to see Pop at home, come on now. The ambulance is on its way. Fear, panic. I sprint back inside so I can grab my favorite book and flip through its pages for some encouragement. Go across the road and I find my Pop lying in his bed. Looking so weak. A shadow of the man that he once was. But he still knew that his grandchildren were there. The ambulance came. We drove to the hospital. I flip open my book for some encouragement from something greater. And I find, you have been my fortress in my time of trouble. My refuge in my time of need. Several doctor's appointments and failed tests later, the doctor tells us to take Pop home. Make sure he's comfortable. Let him eat whatever he wants. Hold on to him. And so we did. Selfishly, almost at first, because we didn't want to face this world without him. And my Pop had one of the best weeks of his life, surrounded by family and friends, those who loved him and held on to him. And while my Pop was pretty easygoing about whenever he was told he needed to rest or to do something, one thing never left his side. It was a watch. You know, it wasn't fancy, just an old silver watch with one of those elastic wristbands. Whenever we asked Pop to remove it, his stubbornness would quickly return. And whenever we tried to take it from him, his hands would grasp around the wristband, whether he was awake or asleep. I remember one day as my Pop was resting, we noticed that the wristband was cutting into his wrist. We snuck up so we wouldn't disturb him and began to slide the watch off. Past his wrist, his palm, his fingers, all the way off. All the way. And that was the moment that my Pop stopped holding on to his watch, stopped holding on to this world, and started holding on to the next. That was the moment that my family stopped holding on to Pop selfishly and started holding on to something greater for the courage to get through. And my Pop passed away in his sleep, surrounded by a family. A family that held on. Do you know what I mean when I say something greater? Do you have anything greater in your life? It could be your faith, service, charity, others. Something greater is an idea or principle that we would willingly and joyfully give our time and our effort to. To be our best selves, we must hold on to something greater. What is your something greater? For Tim Truax from California, he chooses to hold on to his faith because he knows that the battle has already been won. Colton, Jordan, Cade, Susie, and Connor of Illinois hold on to each other as teammates, but also as a family because they realize the more strands a string has, the harder that it is to be broken. Monica, a state officer from Washington, holds on to service by remembering time spent in Haiti helping others and desiring to return one day to continue that impact. My grandmama holds on to family by always checking in to make sure that we are happy and healthy. My Nita holds on to love by showing a smile anytime anyone enters her room. My sister holds on to our relationship so that even though we have never been physically further apart, we are closer than ever. These are just a few examples of something greater. What do you hold on to? Do you hold on to anything? We must all hold on to something. If you feel alone in this world and that nobody seems to get you, hold on to your own self-worth. You mean the world to somebody. You mean the world to me. If you feel like you don't have any friends, hold on to the people that you consider to be your family. If you feel like the misfit in your family and only think about moving away, hold on to the fact that you are uniquely and beautifully created. If you feel lost in this world, hold on to something greater. If you feel constantly hungry, hold on to the fact that we are solving world hunger. If you feel great about life and are insurmountably blessed, hold on to those that don't. Be their hero. If you struggle with self-harm, addictions, or troubles, hold on to those moments of joy that you feel when you are with others, and hold on to the people who will help you become your best self. Hold on to love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. FFA members, thank you for allowing me to hold on to you this past year. And thank you for holding on to this small-town Georgia boy. Will you make the decision today to stop letting time, family, friendships, opportunities, experiences slip through your fingers and hold on to something with purpose? FFA members and guests, don't let go. Just hold on.